Hello and welcome. It's our number one, of the podcast, and this hour dedicated to the NFL. It has been a staple of the offseason, the traditional scouting combine. It is not going to take place the same way it always has over the years in Indianapolis. Instead, it'll be mostly virtual with pro day workouts. So what kind of impact is that going to have on the situation involving the scouting of players for the NFL draft? We take a look at that. Also, we have Scandal Radio, a Major League Baseball executive in hot water because of a taboo photo, a series of photos he sent several years back. We'll talk about that and more coming your way here in hour number one of the podcast. Another nightmare for the NFL. Well, kind of a nightmare. It's like a small nightmare. It's a little nightmare. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we speak from the Bully Pulpit, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from inside the Magic Radio Box, the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. When you switch to Farmers Insurance, you could save a bundle. All you have to do is call 1-888-FARMERS. Get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
So our lead this hour comes from the world of football. We will get to the scandal later on. But this story caught my attention. A staple of the football offseason, a rite of passage once the Super Bowl is over, is going away, at least temporarily, for the year 2021. And if you did not hear about it, maybe you missed it, the NFL has pulled the plug on its annual scouting combine, a tradition every late February for many, many years. Numerous coaches, scouts, personnel executives, and a bunch of media freeloaders, they all held a hostile takeover of Indianapolis, raiding St. Elmo's Steakhouse, the legendary steakhouse in Indy, for a carnival of player evaluation. It's been going all the way back to 1987, which is a long time now. And usually there's around 300 to 350 of the top NFL suspects who are invited to schmooze at the combine and to test themselves for the upcoming draft. We know how that works. Instead, out of an abundance of caution, because of the COVID, the NFL is going to hold all on-field workouts at pro days, campus pro days, on-campus pro days. So if you went to Clemson, you're going to have your pro day at Clemson. If you went to Michigan, you'll be at Michigan. And they've had these pro days anyway, but now you're not going to bother to go to the combine. Everything in terms of the interviews, the infamous Wunderlich IQ test, all of that will be done via Zoom. And the psychological testing, all that stuff will be done that way. So let us discuss the question, what impact will the lack of the combine have on the 2021 NFL draft? I've been reading some comments. People seem very concerned about this, very upset that their team is not going to draft the right player because, oh my God, we don't have the combine. I'm not in that camp. I've got Hijacked, Love Child, and Blind Leading the Blind. And we will tie all of these things together. Now, life, I'm pretty sure, will go on almost like normal in NFL circles. Just the lack of running up expense accounts, that will be hurting. But I'm not going to lose any sleep over this, neither should you. When you take a step back, all right, you realize that this is not a big deal, right? Despite some dopes pearl clutching on social media, freaking out, the same crowd that freaks out about everything. Oh my God, it's the worst thing ever. No, your favorite NFL team is not going to screw up the draft because they don't have a combine. Your favorite NFL team is going to screw up the draft because they're bad at drafting. And the same players who are going to be picked, if there had been a combine, will be selected, with the exception of maybe one or two guys going higher than they would have normally. But the scouting combine is one of those things in modern sports that has taken a life of its own. Now, I get it. I understand. I'm in the radio business. They're in the show business, right? Show business, NFL, trying to show and get excitement going. At some point, though, over the past, I'm not sure whether it's 5, 10, 15 years, how long it's been, the years all run together, but over the past number of years, this thing has been hijacked. It has. The meat and potatoes of football scouting was replaced by theatrics. It's the boiling frog, right? Started out with the best of intentions. We'll get to that in a minute. And then they kept tweaking it and manipulating it. And now you've got this monstrosity. It's a pigskin version of a Mr. Universe contest where it's not about whether you're the greatest football player. It's who's the biggest, fastest, strongest, but who's chiseled out of stone with washboard abs. Physical freaks of nature, those are the headliners. Being able to play football takes a backseat, right? If you're good on Saturdays during the college football season, you've got a lot of tape that's really good, but you show up and you don't have the body like Adonis, it's a problem. It's the Ben Maller Show, by the way. We're live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance. So the biggest loser, part B of this, the biggest loser in all of this would be NFL media, right? In the wasteland that is the offseason, it is essential programming that they continue to create the content for state-sponsored NFL Network. I have some friends that work over there. In terms of the business of football, this is another body blow. Body blow is what it is, right? It's a haymaker. For the NFL, we know the NFL has to come up with a certain number of reasons for people to watch during the downtime, but mainly it's to justify the price they charge cable and satellite providers for NFL programming when there is no NFL in the offseason. And in many ways, the scouting combine is the magnum opus of all offseason events. It's not the draft, it's the scouting combine, which builds up excitement. One thing leads to another. It's like a good date. One thing leads to another, and hey, what's going on? Doing the hanky-panky. But if the national finals rodeo, right, if the rodeo had a love child with the IOC, that would be the combine. It's equal parts underwear Olympics and cattle auction. It's all of that. Right? The players play the role of the livestock, but it's also the underwear Olympics because they run around and test their speed, power, flexibility, balance, coordination, all that. The measurables, a fun term created for the draft. It is the centerpiece of building up the legend and the myth of the next great players in the NFL, only to see them break your heart. Only to see them break your heart, most of them. But the hardcore football fan, this is the kind of stuff. You know, I get it. It's exciting, compelling, wildly unpredictable. But the last word here, over the years, the scouting combine has become, for me, less and less important in my life watching sports. Like, now we typically squeeze out, professionally, we squeeze out a couple of monologues. Some fat guy will run the 40. That's a fun thing to talk about. Or, you know, Kyler Murray will show up and have the smallest hands in the history of the combine. Little tiny eeny beeny hands, and we'll get a kick out of that. And or he'll all of a sudden grow. That was the fun story couple years ago, when Kyler Murray, oh, he's skyrocketing it up. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. But there's really nothing that earth-shattering that we can, you know, can't live without. I expect the void to be filled through other avenues. The combine, it's something a lot of people don't know about, but it's the blind leading the blind, literally. It's a story that I've told a few times over the years, but it's one of my favorite stories about the NFL. If you love or hate the combine, either way, you can thank a guy by the name of Wesley Walker because of the combine. Now, say what? Time now for what we call a Maller history lesson. That's right. Maller history lesson. So this guy played college football at Cal Berkeley, and the New York Jets took him in the second round, 33rd pick. This is in the late 1970s of the NFL draft. I'm talking about Wesley Walker. Now, unbeknownst to the New York football team that wears green and white, the player they drafted was legally blind in one eye. He didn't tell anyone that. Why would he? He would have been drafted lower. So he kept that hidden, didn't disclose it. And even though he was a very productive player in that era of the NFL, and certainly one of the better players the Jets had, the legend is that the ownership was so enraged that they had wasted a second-round pick, and they thought, on a guy that was blind, even though he turned out to be a good player, blind in one eye. The Jets brass got together and they said, this will never happen again. Never again on my watch. So what did they do? I'll tell you. They decided that they would no longer allow this to take place. So they immediately said, we're going to bring in all the draft picks that we're thinking about taking. And so we're going to give them tests and all that to make sure they can see and they've got all their fingers and all their toes. And presto, abracadabra, hocus pocus. The Jets, the first team of all teams, the Jets, the following year, leading up to the draft, the training staff brought in about 100 different players they were considering drafting for physicals. The following year, they said, okay, let's crank it up. Let's get 200. Well, eventually, word got out and went around the other teams in the NFL, like, hey, what are the Jets doing? We better do that, too. And eventually, the draft picks would have to fly from city to city with multiple teams and have the same physical exam performed in all these different locations. And logistically, in the scheduling and all that, it was a difficult, rocky road to go down. And so it was very repetitive and all that. And anyway, so they eventually said, okay, this is ridiculous. And so they created the National Scouting Combine, if you will. And that was originally in Tampa. It's been in Indianapolis since 1987. But it was all because the Jets drafted a guy, Wesley Walker, in the 70s that was blind. And the owner of the Jets is like, what the hell? What are we doing? We can't. I mean, we got you. The guy can't see out of one eye. He's legally blind. And so, ironically, the Jets, who were the first team to actually give physicals to players before the draft, have been consistently, despite that, one of the worst teams at picking players in said draft. It's a wild juxtaposition. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. That is the show that you are locked in here, and you can join the conversation if you would like at 877-99 on Fox as we do the limbo. How low can you go, right? It's a conga line. 877-996-6369. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller if you'd like to be part of the festivities. We were given the gift of Scandal. Scandal Radio. Someone who just got a really good job in sports. Really, really good job in sports. High-paying job, high-profile job. Good ownership, the whole thing. He's being haunted by Twig and Berries. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show by listening and adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox.
No play for Mr. Gray.
Tell us what you like and don't like. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Frank in L.A. writes in, he says, the Lakers' performance tonight was almost as bad as Brian Finley's karaoke performance yesterday. Well, listen, Frank, I thought the Lakers looked great. We're not talking about that, no. We're not bringing that up. That's not on the agenda. Milkman Mike giving us an update on the Maller maneuver. He says, the Maller maneuver verification, his meeting was postponed. You heard a previous show. Milkman Mike's going to go out and make sure the Maller maneuver is legit. He's going to double check. He says he will be able to confirm if it's on the menu or not, which is a key selling point. To have a full Maller experience, you need to have it on the menu. Skeeter in Montana, who always loves the monologues, did not like that monologue. He says C-plus at best, rather boring and mundane Maller monologue. Wow. Vols fan Jimmy says Tennessee must have been legally blind. The nightmare in Knoxville, man. Head coaches, 9 other coaches fired. AD Fat Phil resigned with cause. He says he's going on and on ranting about Tennessee. Yeah. I was laughing when I saw that story that Tennessee blew up the football staff because I recall when they were looking for a coach and there was a rumor that was going around that John Gruden was eating at a barbecue restaurant in Knoxville. And it was like this whole thing. And we had this caller back then named Danny in Nashville who was convinced that this guy was going to be the next great coach and all that. Not Gruden, the guy that ended up getting the job. Pruitt, my God. Late night drug tester says, Ben, since watching the country music documentary, you have worn a blue collar shirt on YouTube and you are now sponsored by Farmers Insurance. What is next? A Copenhagen can ring indent on your worn out blue jeans. Well, hey, if they pay, I'm there. I'm all about it. Absolutely. David checks in. He says, as the general once said, I have returned. Yes, Ben, I have stopped shedding tears, untucked my tail, and come out to eat my plate of crow. David's the Steeler fan from Ohio who was demanding hot Steeler talk on sports radio. We gave him some hot Steeler talk. He did not appreciate it, the content we provided him. He says, I won't bring up the fact my team got screwed and no one wanted us to win. Tell Eddie I will never mention my team's name again. Well, we know that's a lie, David. We know you'll be jonesed up when the draft comes back around or the Steelers make a move in the offseason. That's how that works. Robin Vegas says, Ben, you have finally cracked the case. That's what my Lions have been doing the last 40 years, drafting legally blind players. That explains a lot. Good job by you, Benjamin. He says, Big Rig Rob writes and says, Ben, my biker club and the National Stripper Combine last year at the City Park, had the National Stripper Combine at the City Park, huge success. Well, I'm sure it was a huge success. Well, let's get to the B block. The lead in the B block here is all about Major League Baseball, but not really about baseball. It's about a scandal. The New York Metropolitans have an issue. They have an issue. They hired not that long ago a hotshot general manager, a guy named Jared Porter. Jared Porter, he's been hanging out in baseball front offices for a few years. And
who?
He won the lottery. He got the New York Mets job. High profile, big market, owner takes over, got a lot of money to spend. That's a good job, right? You got a lot of money. You got an owner that wants to win. You got a hungry fan base. Those are all the ingredients you want to have as a general manager. And it looks like Jared Porter, If social media wins, he will be done. He will be suspended and likely finito, fired.
Sent to the
who's gal. And this is a story that involves the old Twig and Berries. It turns out that Jared Porter sent explicit, unsolicited texts and images, including a photo of his junk in the trunk, well, I guess the front trunk, to a female reporter. This happened 4 years ago. Actually, well, I guess five, technically. This happened in 2016. It's early in 2021 as we're doing this in real time. Now, at that particular point, Porter was a executive with the Chicago Cubs. He was the director of professional scouting. Apparently, he struck up a text conversation with a woman who stopped responding, and then he decided to try to get her to respond, thinking that maybe she'd be interested in that.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
Apparently, she was not interested in what he was offering. So anyway, that story's out. It's bouncing around. This happened in August of 2016. And apparently, he was trying to have a little make and whoopee session there in L.A. and did not work out.
And hello, baby.
The Mets general manager confirming that he did take part in the conversation. He denied sending any of the naughty, tawdry images of his junk. Instead, he said it was like a joke stock image thing. So it's not his Twig and Berries there that he was sending out.
There's nothing wrong with a nice phallus.
We've not heard anything from the Mets on this based on the reaction. People love these kind of stories. I would think that if social media wins out, usually the first knee-jerk reaction is to fire, 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 put wood on the fire. Get rid of him. I see very little chance. If you were to say, what are the odds that the Mets fire Jared Porter? I'd say first they suspend him. That's usually how this goes, an internal investigation to examine this. There's always the chance the Mets could say, hey, we were aware of this. But that's a bad look, right? That's a bad look, because if you admit this, then that becomes problematic. And were the Mets aware of that? I don't recall hearing anything about this, but was it in the public theater? I'm not sure. But the story's out there. There's a lot of details, and it's available all over social media and all that.
And says the story said the woman initially did not reach out to the Cubs and eventually got into contact with an employee for the team through her employer. The Cubs employee confirmed that he had spoken with her and Porter regarding the matter. So I'm not sure if this was in the public square, if you will, but that is the story. So if you'd like to be the general manager of the Mets, that job will be open up soon. You can be in charge of the New York Metropolitans. See, this is one of those things, though. Like, when I had my first few cell phones, I guess I'm old enough now. Right, this was never a possibility because the technology was not where it's at in modern times where you could just do that. When you have a flip phone, it's not as easy to accomplish the kind of things that you can accomplish today. It's much easier to do that. And some people are freaking out because I guess he sent a bunch of text messages, but it's pretty easy to send a lot of text messages at the same time. That's also, I'm not defending what he did. I don't know what he did and what he didn't do. I have no idea. I've never even heard of the guy, really. Just in passing, his name has popped up in various front office jobs, but I don't really pay attention to the nerds that much in the front office. So we will see what happens. But it certainly would appear, based on what I was reading, unless I read it wrong, and correct me if I did, if I read it the wrong way, that the person in question here has felt like she's not gotten compensated enough, or like the fact that this story's out there in public, Rao, seemingly, and how does it get out like that? Well, from what I was reading and just taking a glance at some of the stories that are out there, it would appear that there's vengeance. Maybe there should be vengeance, but there's some vengeance there. There's, hey, I got an axe to grind, and I'm upset, and this guy shouldn't be the GM of the Mets, and he did this X number of years ago, and I'm upset about it, and so I'll tell somebody, and somebody will tell somebody else, and then ta-da! We've got the story. Story's all over the place. It's in the air, everywhere. In the air, everywhere. Justin in Cincinnati says Danny in Nashville equals Robbie, the Mariner fan. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, says I would have just laughed for 12 minutes about the Lakers blowing a 19-point lead at home to the Warriors. He was yapping about that. Well, he should be very excited. This is a great moment in Warrior history there. And the Warriors getting run off the court, and they come back and win. Just Josh says, what's wrong with sending someone a picture of your Louisville Slugger next to a couple of stitched Rawlings? Nothing wrong with that at all. He says, all right. We'll ask the Mets. We'll find out. Chris in Houston says, Ben, it sounds like you're defending a douche. I don't know the guy. I have no idea. I just think it's interesting that this story ends up out. The guy was hired a little while ago, and then the story gets out now. I just like the timing on these things. I'm always interested in the timing of it, like the process. Because I remember when I ran a rumor site back years ago, and I had some scoopage from time to time. Very rarely people would send me stuff. And occasionally I would put it on there, and I'd usually, depending on who I was working for at the time, I'd have a cadre of lawyers contacting me with cease and desist letters, and you can't put that out there and all that stuff, and blah, 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 blah. It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here. And again, you are listening live to the show from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance. So good for business. There's only a couple of jobs left in the NFL that haven't been filled, head coaching jobs. But we have seen an uptick, despite the COVID, in ticket sales from one team in particular. Very braggadocious about the increase in ticket sales. That would be Jacksonville. Jacksonville. People running out, buying that teal and black of the Jacksonville Jags. The merchandise sales going up. Ticket sales supposedly going up. And they're in Florida, so they can actually have fans at the games and stuff like that, where other places you can't. And hopefully by next NFL season, you'll have packed NFL stadiums. That would be nice. That'd be great. But Urban Meyer giving Jacksonville a boost in ticket sales, which is not surprising because Urban Meyer won a S-load of games everywhere he has been. And he is getting some blowback, though. I saw Marshall Faulk and Randy Moss and some of the other old guard NFL guys do not think, they don't think Urban Meyer is going to have success. They're betting against Urban Meyer. And whether he wins or not, the spike in season ticket sales, good for Jacksonville. Making a little extra money there. Get those deposits. When those deposits arrive, you can then make interest off that money. And that's the scam of professional sports. That's the key. You got to get that extra money. It's very important. All right, let's go to the phones. And keep in mind, now Kevin is producing. Kevin O'Connell. And so we could have some people sneak in that aren't actually who they say they are. It's one of the beauties of this. Let's go, check in. This says on my screen here, Hollering James. We've not heard from Hollering James in some time. This could be an imposter, but let's check in with Hollering James. We think it's him in Minnesota. Hello, Hollering James.
Ben, it's been so long.
Oh, it's him. It's the real
race.
It's the real deal.
Race.
Oh, no. James, I've been here, Hollering James.
It's me who fell off the face of the earth.
Well, welcome back.
The planet. Maybe I need men at world peace.
Well, I'm so glad you're back, Hollering James. You had one of the great moments. I would say the most entertaining thing we did on this show in 2020 was when you played a game show fast asleep and won the game. Too much or not enough. It was one of the great moments in show history. And you were part of that, Hollering James. And you are going to get heavy consideration for a Benny. When we do the Bennies coming up in a couple months, you are going to be in the running to win a Benny. Your own Benny.
Would I would have won a Benny for just sleeping on air? Like Air Jordan?
No, Hollering James.
With the greatest of ease.
Hollering James, turn the radio up a little more. I want to hear what I sound like on the radio. Can you turn that all the way up?
I'll turn into Jim Neighbors.
Oh, we don't want that. That's a relevant reference, by the way. That's a very relevant pop culture reference. That's a good job by you.
It's on the radio. Oh, we can't give them a shout-out. We don't know who they are.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question, Ben.
Yes.
Tammy from Montana is still on. Can I win a golden ticket for her in honor of her love and appreciation for the generosity that she gives your show and gives my heart?
Hollering James, I know you have a, like many listeners, you have a love with Tammy in Montana. And she's
hey, where are the white
I was
women
the
at?
First listener to bring her out. And what? I was the first listener to give her a golden ticket.
There you go. So, yeah, congratulations. No, I can't give you a golden ticket, but I'm sure she's listening or she's going to hear this on the podcast if she's not up listening live, Hollering James. So I'm sure she'll
she's
be very.
She's listening live right now. But
well, I don't know.
She's listening to your show, man.
I don't know if she's listening.
Yeah.
All right. I got to go. I thank you. Boy, Hollering James hasn't missed anything. He's right there. He is right there. Same caller he was in 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015. We can go back. All the way back.
When are the Bennies this year, Ben?
Well, I'm glad you asked it. It's a great question. First of all, we try to line that up with the award season in Hollywood. I'm not sure if they're going to even do the awards in Hollywood because there were hardly any movies that came out. Are they still doing the same thing that they've always done with the Academy Awards and all that?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. I think they will, but it is going to be different, as is everything.
All right, so that's usually sometime in February, I believe, right? Am I correct in that? The Academy Awards, February, March. I think it's in February. We'll have to check. So we usually line it up around that Sunday into Monday, the Sunday night, the Academy Awards. Then we come on late night, early in the morning on Monday, and we have the Bennies. So it'll be exciting. We have some different categories we're talking about this year. We haven't worked all that out, the logistics and all that, but we're excited about it. And we think it'll be pretty good. So jumping on the crazy train, that would be the Seattle Seahawks. Did you see who the Seattle Seahawks are contemplating hiring as their offensive coordinator? They have a vacancy there. They dumped Brian Schottenheimer. The spawn of Marty was let go. And the Jets now considering Adam Gase, Crazy Eyes, to be their offensive coordinator. That's right. He has talked to the Seahawks about that particular position. Now, here's the interesting thing about this story. Who is the big defensive star that Seattle traded a bunch of draft picks to get from the Jets? Ding, 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 ding. That's right. Jamal Adams. Didn't Jamal Adams, during the Seattle Seahawks season, talk about how he lost his love of football playing for Adam Gase and the Jets? Now, you know, you can say, who cares? It's an offensive coach. This is a defensive guy. Ships passing in the night. They're not going to really hang out together or anything like that. But he absolutely, Adams just destroyed Adam Gase. And when he was traded to Seattle last year, but Gase he's in the running, and he'll get a job because of nepotism, and he knows people, and somebody said he was good a long time ago, and he rode the coattails of Peyton Manning, and so that's got some cachet, and he's gotten two head coaching jobs, and he's failed at both, and so why not go back and be an offensive coordinator? He hasn't been hired yet, but the Seahawks kicking the tires, kicking the crazy eyes on one Adam Gase to be their head coach. Time now for the Who Am I game. We're going to have the NHL Puck'em because there's only a couple NBA games. Everyone played in the NBA on Monday because of Martin Luther King Day, so just about everyone played. There's only a couple NBA games on Tuesday, so we'll play the NHL Puck'em, so plan accordingly. Here's the Who Am I game. Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers has now thrown two passing touchdowns in 8 consecutive playoff games. That's tied with me for the longest such postseason streak in NFL history. Who am I? Again, Aaron Rodgers of your Green Bay Packers has now thrown 2 passing touchdowns in 8 consecutive playoff games. That is tied with me for the longest such streak in postseason history. Who am I? The answer next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Nothing good happens after midnight unless you listen to the Ben Maller Show. Join the fastest growing club on Fox Sports Radio. You can follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. He's on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And on Instagram, it's at Ben Maller on Fox. You can add your touch to weekly show bits like Ask Ben and Lame Jokes. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Big Rig Rob writes in, he says, Ben, Chris in Houston is an expert at defending douchebags. He's been defending those cheating douchebag Astros for years. Yeah. Well, that was another one of the great nights that we've had on the show when the story broke. We did 4 hours Zabruder film style coverage when The Athletic had the scoop. Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal at the Astros were cheating, and Chris called up and passionately defended his squad. And I pointed out there are hundreds of videos verifying what was said in the story, and he said they are photoshopped. Photoshopped! Yeah. Okay. Great moments in show history. Here is the Who Am I game. We're going to have the NHL Puck'em coming up in a little bit. This is the Who Am I game, though, first, so plan accordingly. Aaron Rodgers has thrown 2 passing touchdowns in 8 consecutive playoff games, as tied with me for the longest such postseason streak in NFL history. Who am I? That's the question. What is the answer? Skeeter in Montana says the answer is Hager the Horrible comic strip. All right. Steve Young from Defend the Cup. That's his answer. National J-Day. Helen Keller, guest by Jay in Florida. Joe Montana from Nava. Jim Plunkett, tossed out by Wally, also in the Sunshine State. Montana was guest by Maddie Bear, Down Kane. Brett Favre from Tiger Lily in Michigan. Who else do we have? Manic Mike got this right, clearly cheating in Nashville. Raz is going with Rufus R. Railroad Freight Train Jones as his selection. Richard Todd from Greg, the real estate mogul of Baltimore. Emmett, the blind Seahawk fan, is going with Hollering James as his answer. Who else do we have? Tom Brady, guessed by Will in Pennsylvania. J. Dot in Utah says it's said female reporter in the answer. The Notorious B is going with Whoopi Pie Blair. Don Mikowski, the Magic Man from Green Bay Packer legend of the past, guessed by the Goat Man Rob. Who else do we have? Jeffrey Hostetler from Marquise. Tim Tebow, tossed out by Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia. Travis is going with, hey, Porter Wagner. Robbie the Mariner fan says his crush, his bromance, Josh Allen, is the way to go. I see page up. Jay Scoop is going with Ed Sprinkle as his answer. Milkman Mike says the Emperor Ming, the Merciless, is the way to go. All right, Eddie, what's the answer, Eddie? We got the NHL Puck'em coming up here.
Let's go with Robert Griffin III, who I understand got let go by the Ravens.
Yes, he was given his pink slip. That is incorrect. The correct answer, Eddie, Jump Ball Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is tied with Aaron Rodgers. He had the record by himself of 8 consecutive playoff games with 2 passing touchdowns. So it's Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers as the answer. So you're listening live to the Ben Maller Show from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. And I don't think we actually have time now for the NHL Puck'em. I said so many answers, Roberto. Wow. I was so curious. So we'll bump the NHL Puck'em for ratings purposes.
Yeah, we'll do it next hour. We got to do it for Eddie.
It'd be fun to do it in like 15 seconds, but I don't know that we'd
get... That'd be a train wreck.
Well, it's normally a train wreck even when we allot the proper amount of time.
I got my hockey names ready, Eddie. So,
oh, good job, Roberto.
Yeah. I got some.
I had no stats when we did it last time.
There were no games. That's when we did it. Yeah. We did it. There were no games. There were 2 games.
It's hard to find names, Eddie. So.
Yeah.
Apologize.
Yeah.
I found some.
I've been watching a little hockey. I've been dabbling in the hockey a little bit. So I've been checking it out.
No, I haven't watched it.
You have not?
No.
You're not watching anything. You're sitting on your ass at home.
Yeah.